This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, please be seated. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I want to start by asking you to consider or to think about, what is your first instinct or the first thing you do when your world starts to feel chaotic and unsettled? The gospel lesson this morning finds Jesus in his own precarious place. He's foretold the danger and the chaos that is to come. He's told the disciples that he is going away and that they will know the way to find him, but it's done nothing but confuse and disorient them. They don't seem to understand where Jesus is going or how they are to find him. Even worse, Jesus has foretold that he will be betrayed by one of them and turned over to the authorities, and that Peter will deny him. Even those who are close to Jesus and who are among his chosen followers are not immune to betrayal and misunderstanding and suffering. Jesus knows all too well the difficulties that are coming for the disciples and how they will struggle in the midst of the isolation, fragmentation, and disruption that is to come. Jesus knows that their world is about to be turned upside down. So how does Jesus prepare them for what is to come? What steps does he take? Jesus responds by praying to the Father, praying that they would remain connected to God and to one another and to the love that first claimed them. But I think if we're honest with ourselves, that might not be what we would expect. Because what do we do what do we instinctively cling to in times of chaos or upheaval? Where do we turn in times of struggle? Even if prayer is our first or second instinct, are we praying for love and connection before anything else? Because I think our instinctual focus in these times is more often to seek control. We look for power, influence, and certainty in the face of a threat, whether it's real or imagined. We can assume a defensive posture, one that places us in opposition to the forces that threaten us. But Jesus's primary instinct and focus is relational. He doesn't pray for protection or for safety. He asks for connection and for love. He prays for the disciples to remain in relationship with God and with each other, and perhaps most importantly, connected to the love that first claimed them. Their identity, their purpose, their faith all begin with God's love as the primary agent. It doesn't begin with their faith, their actions, their worth, or their belief. It begins with God, who acted first. I think we feel all too deeply the fragmentation that exists in the world. When we are threatened, we seek shelter in the illusion of safety by dividing into our own fractions and groups, so that we are surrounded by those who think and act like we do. This division can be political, it can be spiritual or relational or social, but wherever it comes from, these breaks cause pain and suffering, even as we seek shelter. Even our churches divide into factions as we try to worship with those who agree with us and see the world as we do. We can start to think that we have to cling to and hold on to our faith more and more tightly. We think we have to maintain and protect the remaining threads of connection. But what if it isn't up to us? What if our faith rests more securely in God's grasp of us than it does in our grasp of God. Perhaps we could move from anxiety to trust and know that our faith and our connection to God and to each other survives because Christ clings to us and not the other way around. Jesus prays this prayer for the disciples, knowing that within hours they will scatter, deny him, and flee. He isn't praying for people with a strong grip. He's praying for people who are about to lose theirs entirely. And still he prays for their unity. Still he holds on. Our salvation and our future hope are not some abstract goal or state that we seek to achieve or to win. It's a relationship. It's a connection that begins here and now. Eternal life is a participation in God's life and love, and it begins now. It's communion with God and with each other, just like in Jesus' prayer. It's knowing and being known by God and each other. But this communion isn't defined in human terms. It's not bound by party or ideology or tribe or by outrage. We don't offer witness to a different type of world if our churches or our communities simply reflect the divisions and the opinions of the world. This is a unity and a connection that bears a cost. There's no resurrection without crucifixion, and there's no glory without sacrifice. It's a connection that looks like shared meals and washed feet and sacrifice for each other. It's a love that abides and that thrives in gathered community. It requires a surrender of certainty and pride and superiority. It requires an openness to God and to each other. When we do this, we don't deny the grief, the suffering, the pain, or the joy of the world. We live in it, and we experience it together. Jesus prays for communion, for connection to God and to each other, and most importantly, connection to the love of God that first claimed us. The connection doesn't remove or protect us from suffering, but our isolation makes the suffering unbearable. And we need God, and we need each other to survive the world. And the church reminds us that chaos does not have the final word and cannot break the bonds that tie us to God and to each other. In the end, unity means seeking connection with those whom the world says we have no business being in connection with. It means staying in communion with those who disagree with us and who don't vote like we do. It means tough conversations that confront injustice and inequality, but that also work to repair and rebuild broken bonds. Christian community means refusing to let fear and ideology become stronger than our baptismal commitment to love and to serve our neighbor. We all feel acutely the chaos and the division of the world right now. But can we trust in God's love enough to reach out to those who challenge us, knowing that God is already there, holding us together and inviting all of us to the table? Jesus is still praying for our unity and is still calling us into communion with God and with each other. Amen.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.